Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, April 5th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, MISD employees to receive $2,000 stipend. Superintendent. Plan is to move starting teacher pay to $58,500, support staff to $13.50 an hour. By Stuart Doreen. After its first of three budget workshops Monday evening, the Midland ISD Board of Trustees approved a budget amendment to pay all district employees a one-time appreciation stipend of up to $2,000. The board recognizes the unique challenges educators have experienced this year, according to a press release after the workshop. The past few school years have been tough for everyone, and this year has been no exception, said Board President Brian Murray in the news release. MISD is nothing without its people, and is fitting to use these excess funds as a way to show appreciation for our district employees who have worked so hard to keep the district running. On behalf of the board, we cannot thank them enough for what they do. The stipend is possible because of a 2021-22 budget surplus and through the state's recent action to adjust in-person attendance funding for this school year. The stipend will be paid at the end of May. Midland ISD leaders also had first discussions about the 2022-23 budget, which MISD Superintendent Angelica Ramsey said could include salary increase. Ramsey told the Reporter Telegram on Monday that a plan is to move the starting teacher pay to $58,500 and support staff to $13.50 an hour. Those pay increases are not approved yet, but should the board approve the increase, it would mark another increase for teachers. Midland ISD board members have been pushing up the salaries for teachers since Ryder Warren was superintendent at the district. Since 2010, the starting salary for an entry-level teacher has increased from around $40,050 to $57,500 during the 2021-22 school year. Increasing the minimum support staff pay to $13.50 would be a considerable accomplishment for a district that was paying a minimum level of $10 an hour in 2020. This article is entitled, Midland ISD Board to Adjust Student Performance Goals, by Stuart Doreen. Working on the trajectory of all students is a reason behind the latest adjustment of Midland ISD's student outcome goals. The Midland ISD Board met Saturday morning to talk about those goals that are part of the Lone Star Governance Program, which the district defines as a continuous improvement model for governing teams that provides coaching and support for school boards committed to improving student outcomes. Midland ISD officials became one of the first districts in the state to adopt and implement Lone Star governance during the 2016-17 school year. At that time, MISD partnered with the state as a response to academic performance struggles. This is the first adjustment of those goals since Angelica Ramsey became the superintendent in 2021. The district is focusing its efforts on improving student outcomes. However, current board goals are not closely aligned with the state metrics that will ensure the reduction of D and F campuses, and the continuous improvement of all MISD schools, according to the Rationale of Goal Revision part of the board packet for Saturday's meeting. The following five goals were proposed to board members. The percentage of third-grade students who demonstrate grade-level mastery by scoring at the meets grade level or above on the Reading Star Assessment will increase from 36% to 50% by school year 2026. Baseline school year 2021, 32%. The percentage of 4th through 8th grade students who meet or exceed their Reading Star progress measure will increase from 55% to 80% by school year 2026. Baseline school year 2019, 55%. The percentage of 4th through 8th grade students who meet or exceed their Math Star progress measure will increase from 55% to 80% by school year 2026. Baseline school year 2019, 55%. The 4-year graduation rate will increase from 89.7% of the graduating class of 2020, reported in November 2021, to 94% for the graduating class of 2026. MISD officials noted that in the first two goals, meets grade level, which shows mastery of a grade level, is selected as the standard, and not approaches grade level, which shows passing. The desire to reach for mastery is expected to lift all students, not just those at the proverbial bottom. It would be easy to set that goal and have a higher percentage to try to show people that we're doing better than the numbers we put out, Board President Brian Murray said Saturday. But really our goal is to get them to the meets or master's level. And so those percentages were a little lower. But we're not just talking about students being proficient. We're talking about them being meets or masters. Progress, board members learned during the workshop, is the way school districts are measured. So when a campus or district is low on the raw score, there is still an opportunity to avoid D or F grades by showing progress. We could be outperforming them, Ramsey said, but they are showing growth. That is why A through F isn't cut and dry. Ramsey noted that the statewide average for third grade students who demonstrate grade level mastery on the reading test was 39%, compared to 36% at MISD. No one would equate 39% with A's and B's, yet you have schools and school districts that are rated A, and it doesn't mean it's because they're at 90%. Murray added that the district just can't deal with students that are not passing and getting them to pass because that's a very minimal standard. We have an obligation to all our students because they came to us for education, Murray said. How do we take those kids that are close to being masters of their different assessments and get them to that level so that we grow them across the district? MISD staff members are expected to revise the goals and goal progress measures and conduct a final review of the revised goals at its school board meeting, which is tentatively scheduled for April 19th. This article is entitled Interim Leader Committed to MCS. More. Number one goal is to provide some stability, calm the waters. By Stuart Doreen. In February, Kelly Moore agreed to come to Midland and serve as the interim superintendent of Midland Christian School. Moore is the past president of the National Christian Schools Association and has experience as a superintendent, president, and principal for schools, private and public, in Abilene, Hawley, Keller, and Fort Worth. At the time, the Abilene residents stated that this is God's school, and we will continue to focus on the Christian part of Midland Christian School. 10 days earlier, on February 16th, 5 MCS leaders and staff members were arrested for failure to report with intent to conceal neglect or abuse. The arrest was related to an alleged hazing incident involving some of our student athletes. Around 1 month later, Kelly answered questions from the Reporter-Telegram about his time at MCS. The questions included his response when he was called for his latest assignment, what he seeks to accomplish, his message for the MCS family, and the impact on enrollment, if any. We have been in the news. But I am not sure we are under a microscope, Kelly wrote. We are doing the same things every day that we would do this time of year. We are playing ball games, rehearsing for the musical, planning for the end-of-year activities like any other school. Regardless of where I live, the school business is fundamentally the same everywhere. Somebody said that it is just like riding a bike. Things come back to you when you get back into the school environment. The following is a question and answer with Midland Christian's interim superintendent. MRT, what was your reaction when you received the call to gauge your interest in being the interim superintendent? Kelly, I was very surprised when asked to consider coming to Midland Christian. I heard of the incident a few days earlier and was saddened by the situation. Of course, I had to talk it over with my wife, knowing this was 150 miles away and would require a change in some plans we had in place. I think the school board felt like they needed someone with experience in private education, and I am honored to come and assist them. MRT, what is the number one thing you hope to accomplish while you are here, and why is that number one? Kelly, my number one goal is to provide some stability and calm the waters a little at MCS. Teachers, like anybody else, don't like change and uncertainty. So again, the board thought the best way they could support the staff was to find someone with private school leadership experience to lead MCS. MRT. What has been your message with staff members, with students, with parents? Kelly. My message has been the same to all at MCS. We will be okay, and God will bless our efforts as we work together to provide quality Christian education to the students and families of MCS. I have worked to meet as many people as possible and be very visible on the campus. Establishing relationships is very important in a school environment. MRT. In a situation like this, it is easy to imagine that the school has been put under the microscope of the community. How do you operate under that microscope? Is it easier to operate not being from Midland? Kelly. Yes, we have been in the news, but I am not sure we are under a microscope. We are doing the same things every day that we would do this time of year. We are playing ball games, rehearsing for the musical, planning for all the end-of-year activities, like any other school. Regardless of where I live, the school business is fundamentally the same everywhere. Somebody said that it is just like riding a bike. Things come back to you when you get back into the school environment. MRT. Has enrollment for 2022-23 been impacted? Kelly. Our overall enrollment has not changed significantly, and we are on track to have record enrollment next year. MCS has an outstanding reputation in the Midland community, and with God's help, we will overcome this challenge. MRT, do you expect to be in your current position at the school when the 2022-23 year school begins? Kelly, I have no idea how long I will be serving in this capacity at MCS, and I hope for a swift resolution to this situation. But I am committed to MCS for as long as the board asks me to serve. This article is entitled, Buffalo Joe's Tequilas Receive Alcohol Designations. Both approvals unanimous from Planning and Zoning Commission, by Mella McEwen. Two new restaurants are set to join Midland's restaurant community after receiving approval from the Planning and Zoning Commission. At Monday's meeting, commissioners unanimously approved a request by Buffalo Joe's, which currently offers dine-in service, for a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in the restaurant at 106 South A Street. As commissioners discussed the request, concerns about parking arose because the current 10 parking spaces is less than the 17 required for the restaurant. The restaurant previously in the location, Steak 42, had converted angled parking in front of the building along A Street into a parklet for outside seating. But that permit expired last May, meaning Buffalo Joe's will be prohibited from using the parklet until the right-of-way licensing agreement has been approved. The restaurant operates Tuesday through Sunday from 11 a.m. to midnight and plans to offer alcohol service during those same hours. The Gomka Family Restaurants LLC plan to open a third Tequila's also moved forward, as commissioners unanimously approved its request for a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in a restaurant. Tequila's is looking to open its third location on the first floor of 100 North Main Street in the former Witch Witch location. Tequila's original location is at 4610 North Garfield Street, and the company is working on its second location at 3322 North Loop 250 in the building that once housed Smiling Moose Deli and Freebird's World Burrito. The 2,372-square-foot location will operate from 10 a.m. to midnight daily, with alcohol service during the same hours. This article is entitled, MDC Extends Inspection Period for Its Downtown Acquisition, by Mella McEwen. Midland Development Corporation's acquisition of downtown properties continues to move forward. At Monday's monthly board meeting, MDC directors agreed to amend the purchase agreement to extend the inspection period prior to closing to April 30th. The extension is being done to perform toxicity characteristic leaching procedure testing on the property. Board members also agreed to pay Strong Environmental Services $8,727.50 to conduct the testing on the property at 210 North Big Spring Street and 211 North Colorado Street, which MDC is buying for $4.9 million. At the same meeting, board members got an update on renovations to the University of Texas Permian Basin's Center for Energy and Economic Diversification to establish an incubator program. In 2020, the MDC pledged $2 million for the renovations. Brian Shedd, executive director of UTPB's Office of Innovation and Commercialization, told board members Monday at their monthly meeting that the renovation project has begun with a two-week process of cleaning out areas currently in use and preparing the site for renovation. Demolition is expected to begin April 18th, with a completion target date of October 1st, Shedd reported. When complete, the renovated space will include a business incubator with office space available to startup companies, co-working space for companies that just need a desk or business equipment on occasion, a maker space with equipment like 3D printers, and an advanced manufacturing center. Shedd said his office is in the process of compiling an equipment list and is also working to create programs to accommodate the area's growing aerospace industry. Another growing industry the center could help is carbon sequestration, he said, citing plans by Oxy Low Carbon's 1.5 unit to build direct air capture plants throughout the Permian Basin. The center will unify all the school's innovation and commercialization activities at CEED. It will focus on four areas: technology transfer, startup support, industry collaboration, and product development. As she introduced Shedd, Sandra Woodley, UTPB president, told the board, "How honored we are to have your faith in the university and the impact this initiative will have on the economy." Following Shedd's presentation, the board authorized an amended agreement with UTPB for the Incubator and Makerspace Initiative that requires quarterly reports before reimbursements are made. The board also approved payment of $87,000 $51.79 to UTPB under the agreement. After some discussion, board members also approved paying $14,999 to the University of Texas Permian Basin as part of an incubator and makerspace grant agreement between MDC and UTPB. But in passing the resolution, board members agreed that the agreement should be amended to require quarterly reports from UTPB before additional reimbursements are approved. The MDC in 2020 committed $2 million to remodel the CEED at Highway 191 and Farm to Market Road 1788 to establish an incubator program. The incubator program is expected to include biomedical research, a natural resource center, and cybersecurity center, as well as weekend boot camps, entrepreneurial meetings and mentoring programs, workforce training and offices that could be leased by startup companies. The MDC has also pledged $5 million in staffing costs for the incubator program, up to $2,000 a year over 25 years. This article is entitled MC Honor Society Picked as Top Texas Chapter. New members inducted in ceremony held on March 28th. By Midland College. During the Texas State Phi Theta Kappa Conference held in early March, the Texas region honored Midland College's MC Alpha Beta Phi chapter as one of the top 15 chapters in Texas. There are currently 80 chapters in the state. PTK Texas Region also named the chapter as one of the top three chapters chosen for its Honors in Action research project, Expressions of Truth, which included videos of employees and students telling their legacy stories, how education has played a part in their lives and those of their families. In addition, the Texas region awarded MC's college project, PTK Perspectives Podcast, as one of the top 20 chapter projects. Also, Midland College chapter president Henna Patel was named one of the top 30 outstanding chapter officers in the state. Chapter member Zada Kadir was elected District 1 West Texas Region Vice President for the 2022-23 academic year. This is the second year in a row that someone from Midland College has been elected. Currently, MC student Caleb Goylando is serving in that position. The Texas region presented the PTK Horizon Award to MC Government Professor and Honors Program Director Terry Gilmore, who also serves as chapter advisor. Renee Aldrin, Early College High School at Midland College Chancellor, was added to the Hall of Honor for college administrators. Locally, on March 28th, Midland College inducted 58 members into the Alpha Beta Phi chapter of PTK at the Al G. Langford Chaparral Center. Phi Theta Kappa, PTK, is the oldest, largest, and most prestigious honor society serving two-year colleges around the world. The international organization is composed of over 1,400 chapters. Membership is based on superior academic achievements and is conferred only by invitation to students who have a minimum 3.5 grade point average. 2022 MC Phi Theta Kappa inductees are Diana Aguirre, Jocelyn Alcala, Cameron Anderson, Matthew Arispe, William Aston, Marion Adhumani, Priscilla Baltasar, Andres Barber, Joaquim Beltran, Maria Bustamante Garcia, Martha Caballero, Andrea Blanco Calderon, Alyssa Campos, Deisha Carrasco, Desiree Chavez, Anna Chilcote, Alejandro de la Rosa Azumendi, Valeria Torres Enriquez, Elizabeth Escobar, Jaden Evans, Christine German, Jacqueline Gomez, Maria Gonzalez, Baby Govan, Linda Hales, Ethan Hedges, Dariana Hernandez, Hannah Hirsch, Wyatt Hodges, Chardonnay Hunkin, Zada Kadir, Arij Koder, Arwa Koder, Kuhn Leon, Pete Lyles, Faith Lopez, Jennifer Madua Buchiku, Jessica Matsuda, Pamela Melendez, Heaven Miles, Emilio Moreno, Aramide Olodiran, Abdullahi Oyanyi, Lexi Pate, Maria Belen Quintana, Addison Rogers, Caden Rogers, Michelle Royes, Uju Kalu Samuel, Jimena Sanchez, Shaquila Sarapau, Brycey Tamayo, Sui Tuong, Sui Teal, Alianas Transvent, Jorge Urdaneta, Jacinda Valenzuela, and Jana Villarreal. Alpha Beta Phi PTK chapter officers are Henna Patel, President, Mariam Adhumani, Vice President of Scholarship, Caleb Goyando, Vice President of Leadership, Zada Kadir, Vice President of Public Relations, Shaquila Sarapau, Vice President of Fellowship, Marisol Tarin, Vice President of Service, Anna Chilcote, Treasurer, and Elizabeth Witten, Recording Secretary. This article is entitled MISD 2022-23 Enrollment Period Open. All new returning students must enroll for next school year. By Midland Reporter Telegram. Enrollment is now open for families planning to attend Midland ISD for the 2022-23 school year. The school district announced this week that the enrollment period is for all students, including those applying for pre-K or starting kindergarten, new students to MISD, and all returning students. Even students returning to the same campus must re-enroll using their Skyward Family Access account, the district reported in a news release. All families are invited to get started by visiting midlandisd.net/welcome. The site serves as a portal to our enrollment and application tools for students and families at all levels, and has been designed with families in mind to make the enrollment process as easy as possible. Our enrollment website includes step-by-step instructions on how to enroll using Skyward, said Erin Villarreal, Director of Student Information Services. If parents have additional questions, representatives at their campus can guide them through the process, or they can contact us by email at familyaccess-help@midlandisd.net. Parents who are not sure which campus their child will attend can use the School Finder tool, which can be found at the Apply Midland portal at midland.net/apply. Apply Midland is also the place to find information about all of the district schools. Parents should also be reminded that the second application window is now open for schools of choice, and parents can apply at midlandisd.net/apply. Midland ISD will also hold a kindergarten roundup for parents sending their students to school for the first time. More information will be released in the coming weeks. This article is entitled DPS, Texas Rangers Investigating Shooting Involving Officer, by Stuart Doreen. Department of Public Safety officials confirmed that the Texas Rangers are investigating an officer-involved shooting. Sergeant Stephen Blanco wrote a Midland District Attorney's Office investigator was involved in the incident, which took place around 3 p.m. Saturday. Blanco said the shooting occurred on Farm to Market Road 307, a quarter of a mile west of South County Road 1130. He added there were no deaths or injuries from the shooting, and the incident is under investigation at this time. This article is entitled MCSO searches for thieves who stole $200,000 worth of copper wire. By Mercedes Cordero. The Midland County Sheriff's Office and Midland Crime Stoppers are seeking the public's help in solving a theft. MCSO deputies responded on March 30th to Lightning Oil Services, located at 11923 West County Road 122, in reference to the theft of copper wire. The victim told deputies that about $200,000 worth of copper wire was cut and stolen off one of the rigs. The chain-link fence on the northwest side of the property also had been cut, according to the victim. If a person has any information on the suspect and it leads to an arrest, it will be worth a cash reward of up to $1,000. Call Midland Crime Stoppers at 694-TIPS or download the Crime Stoppers app, P3 Tips, and submit an anonymous mobile tip. No caller ID is ever used, and callers will remain anonymous. Midland County investigators are working on the case. This is the obituary column, Wednesday, April 5th. Billy Joe Fagan. Billy Joe Fagan passed away March 26th in Midland. Born April 6, 1935, to Dolly, Terry, and Ray Fagan in Muleshoe, Texas. Joe is survived by his wife Bonnie, son Mike and wife Stephanie, daughter Charla Sergo and husband Victor, daughter Cheryl Starnes and husband Glenn, son Donnie and wife Kendra, as well as many grandchildren and great-grandchildren. He is also survived by his brothers Jimmy Don Fagan and Carol Fagan, and his sister Sandra Hickson. Visitation will be from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Tuesday, April 5th at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. A memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. Wednesday, April 6th at Crestview Baptist Church in Midland. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to the Navy SEAL Foundation, 1619 D Street, Virginia Beach, Virginia, or Hospice of Midland, 911 West Texas Avenue, Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Gary Lee Powell. Gary Lee Powell, 79, passed away on March 26th at his residence in Midland. Gary was born on February 12, 1943, in Saratoga, Wyoming. In addition to his parents, Gary was preceded in death by his brother, James Morris Powell. Gary was a devoted and loving husband, father, grandfather, and is survived by his beloved wife, Linda, daughter, Jennifer Lee Powell, two sons, Brian Lee Powell and Brett Lee Powell, five precious grandchildren, and his brother, William Lloyd Powell of Evanston, Wyoming. A celebration of his life will be held Sunday, April 10th, 4 p.m., at Grace Lutheran Church in Midland. Jane McKinney. Jane E. McKinney, a longtime resident of Westminster in Austin, died March 22nd. Jane McKinney was born to Julian and Esta Mae Smith Ensminger on the family farm in Hendricks County, Indiana, on May 22nd, 1924. Jane is preceded in death by her parents, her husband in 1995, and both sisters, Lois E. Etienne and Josephine E. McFerrin. She is survived by two sons, Ernest McKinney and wife Phyllis Warren of Austin, Edward McKinney and wife Susan McKinney of Miami, Florida, as well as multiple grandchildren and great-grandchildren. There will be a graveside service on April 9th at 9 a.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park in Midland. Memorials may be sent to West Texas Boys Ranch, 10223 Boys Ranch Road, San Angelo, Texas, or a charity of your choice. Janie Decker Wallace. Janie Decker Wallace passed away in Midland on March 30th. She was born September 4, 1926, in Fort Worth, to Mary Neely and Westbrook B. Decker. She is survived by daughter Sharon Joel McMaines of Fort Worth, son Steve Lee Wallace of Midland, and daughter Valerie Allen Hale of Midland, as well as many beloved grandchildren and great-grandchildren. There will be a Christian graveside service and burial in Santa Ana, Texas, at a future date. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests a memorial in Janie's name to one of the following: Hillcrest School in Midland, Kinderfrog School, 2805 Stadium Drive, TCU in Fort Worth, or the Village at Manor Park in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Joe Keffler. Joe Francis Keffler, age 93, of Midland, went to be with the Lord March 31st in Midland. Joe was preceded in death by her devoted husband, Joseph W. Keffler, Mother Henrietta Poland Sir, Father Ernest Edward James, and grandson Adam Downton Wallach. A loving and devoted mother, Joe is survived by her children and their spouses, Ken and Judy Terry, Susan and Tom Highfield, and Sharon and Bobby Howell, as well as many grandchildren and great-grandchildren. A loving sister, Carolyn Hamilton, along with her children, her stepchildren and their spouses, Bill and Chrissy Keffler, John and Donna Keffler, and Rob and Louise Keffler. Joe Keffler was born on December 3, 1928, in Houston. A visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, April 7th, at Ellis Funeral Home. A private family graveside service will be held Monday, April 11th, at Forest Park Lawndale Cemetery in Houston. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made in Mrs. Keffler's name to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital or to Hospice of Midland. Leroy Roy Guy Coach McGuffey. Roy McGuffey, 89, passed away March 31st, surrounded by family at his home in Midland. Roy was born on September 13, 1932, in Borger, Texas, to Guy McGuffey and Ursel Cloud McGuffey. Roy is preceded in death by his wife of 58 years, Alice McGuffey, and son Michael McGuffey. He is survived by his two loving daughters, Teresa Crockett and Kathy Maggard, both of Midland. He is also survived by his sister, Barbara Corbin of Lubbock. He leaves behind four grandchildren and six great-grandchildren. Memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, April 8th, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Hospice of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. William H. Hank Kirk. William H. Hank Kirk, 94, passed away peacefully at his home in Midland on March 20th. Hank was born in Hinsdale, Illinois, on July 24, 1927, to William and Helen Bielobrowski Kirk. After working in other places for many years, Hank returned to his adopted home in Midland.
Hello, this is Denisa reading the Odessa American, local and state, for Tuesday, April 5th, 2022. Pre-K screening now open. Goal is to reach more Odessa families. To make it easier for parents to screen their children for pre-kindergarten, Ector County ISD has put the process online. There are 15 campuses in the district that serve pre-K students who are 4 years old and three that serve three-year-old pre-K children. The online pre-K eligibility screening opened April 1st. Our pre-K roundup is really a time that we, as a district, are coming together and just rounding up our pre-K students by spreading the word throughout our community that we're ready to welcome our youngest learners into our district for the upcoming school year. Director of Early Childhood Education, Beatrice Mata, said, "We have a lot of events planned and a lot of outreach planned so we can spread the word. So many families within our community, they're not aware that we are serving in pre-K 3 within our district yet. Our hope is, of course, just to go and reach more families each year through outreach," Mata said. Throughout the next couple of weeks, early childhood staff will visit campuses to help parents. There is a QR code that goes with the information, so people can scan it, and it takes them to the appropriate web page. Parents can fill out the form and see if they qualify. Our families have a few options. They can go on to our district website, and they can find our pre-K eligibility screener. Fill it out, submit it, and they're done. The next step would be where their campus that their child is going to. You will contact those families, and they'll walk them through those next processes up through registration, just to help them with that piece, Mata said. If there are families that don't have access to a computer to fill out that online eligibility screener, then we will be stationed on those campuses. Early childhood staff will be there to help them. Hayes educators start girls' running club. Time at the track has healing quality. COVID-19 had a huge impact on students at Hayes STEAM Academy. So to help them heal, music teacher Crystal Davis and PE coach Clarissa Dominguez formed the Girls Running Club. At her previous school in Michigan, there was an organization called Girls Who Run, which is like what they are doing at Hayes. Girls Who Run is a national organization, but it's not offered in West Texas. The Hayes version is for girls in 3rd through 5th grade. The inspiration came from the need for SEL, which is social and emotional learning, Davis said. She and Dominguez, who are best friends, teamed up to work through the social emotional learning issue together and focus on young girls. "We're working on things such as confidence building, communication, friendships, and just working through those limiting beliefs that young girls face at this age," Davis said. With 27 members, the club meets 3 times a week. More girls are asking to join, and Davis said she doesn't turn any of them away. The girls start out in the music room, journal, have a group discussion, then head out to the track. If the weather is bad, they will use the cafeteria. Each week, Davis said, they're going to pick a topic they think is important to discuss. The week of March 28th, the topic was inner beauty. "We're talking about all of the things that make us somebody beautiful on the inside, rather than just appearance and looks. We always start with a journal prompt where they write things that they're grateful for and they can circle the emotions that they're feeling. That's like a daily check-in. It gives them a few minutes to themselves every day just to check in with their self," Davis said. That's followed by a discussion group. "We've been passing around a talking stick and having people describe someone in their life that's beautiful on the inside. And then we have a word bank of different qualities: creative, strong, athletic, curious, kind, gentle. Words that can describe you on the inside. We challenge them to use those words while they're describing that person in their life," Davis said. That's when the running comes in. "We think that running is a great tool just to heal and center the mind. And it's a physical way for girls to set and accomplish their goals. But something that we've incorporated is little mirrors. Every time they run a lap, they're going to pick up a mirror, and they're going to say something that makes them beautiful on the inside. Our goal is that hopefully they can start telling others why they're beautiful on the inside, and kind of spread that kindness and spread that joy," she added. The grade levels in the group is where Davis said they are seeing the most emotional conflicts at Hayes. "As a campus, we've been really focused on working with those grades on SEL concepts," she said. Davis said she doesn't know if it's these age groups in particular, but she does think technology plays a big role in how the girls are feeling. With COVID, they were on the iPads and the cell phones and the computers and on TikTok and all sorts of social media. They got all of those things thrown in their face, and they kind of forgot how to talk to one another. They forgot how to communicate and be a person outside of their technology, Davis said. She added that she sees the social media impact more with the older children than the younger ones. In running club, the girls walk the first lap, and they are supposed to talk to each other. This week, April 4th, they are going to challenge them to talk to someone new. And we'll give them little conversation starter cards and stuff just to encourage that conversation starting that I think they've lacked since COVID, Davis said. She added that the club has helped her and Dominguez as much as it's helped the girls. Dominguez said it's a way to connect with the girls a little more and talk to them about physical and emotional health. We're planning on going over healthy foods and snacks that we should consume before going out and running or walking the track, Dominguez said. She added that they eat something small to give them a little energy boost, like a small bag of pecans or nuts or fruit if possible. March 31st was only day 3 of the club, but Dominguez said she noticed that the attitude in PE had changed a little bit. They're a little nicer with each other, like if they see someone that's by themselves, they'll go and talk and try to connect with others, Dominguez said. Grace Gibson, a 10-year-old fourth grader, Sadie Medina, a 9-year-old third grader, Symphony Taylor, a 10-year-old fifth grader, and Ruby Zubia, an 8-year-old third grader, are all club members. Medina said she wanted to join because she wanted to have fun and run because I like to run a lot. She added that she likes being around Davis and Dominguez. Gibson said she wanted to make new friends and get to know some other girls. And I also love running and journaling, and I just felt like it would be really good for me to learn how to get my emotions out on paper, Gibson said. She added that writing out her feelings has helped her a lot. Taylor said she joined because she wanted to make new friends. And, like Gracie said, I like getting my emotions out on paper. But it's not just that. It's like a safe place. No one makes fun of you. Like in school, they might make fun, but they think they're playing. In there, you know it's a safe place. No one's going to make fun of you. It's just amazing, Taylor said. Zubia said she joined because she loves running, and her favorite teachers are Dominguez and Davis. I love running, and running makes me be more confident and just builds up more of my strength, Zubia said. Some of the girls knew each other before the club. You really get to know the other kids in the school and their interest in why they journal and why they just need somewhere to go. But most of the time, it's just nice to have some other girls to talk to, Gibson said. Taylor said the club also allows the girls to make more friends, so as friends move away, they have more friends. Zubia added, You can lose some friends, but you're not going to lose them as family because you still have some other good friends. MCH's Tippin will update City Council. Medical Center Health Systems CEO Russell Tippin will update the Odessa City Council on the reimbursement process of the $3 million of ARPA funds given to the hospital by the council last year during a council work session today. Last year, the City Council allocated $3 million in ARPA funds to MCH and another $1 million to Odessa Regional Medical Center. The goal is to have the city reimbursed for the American Rescue Plan Act funds. The city can be reimbursed through a FEMA program that returns dollar-for-dollar investments into funding issues that came about during the height of the COVID pandemic. Tippin asked to update the council. Public Relations Director Trevor Tankesley said via telephone Monday, Russell wants to update the council on the reimbursement process and is in constant communication with FEMA and the Texas Department of Emergency Management. Tankersley said communication with the government entities has been, and that all paperwork for the city to be reimbursed has been submitted. We are optimistic that refund process will happen. We just don't have a date yet. Tankersley added it was important to Tippin and MCH that they update the council. The Odessa City Council is scheduled to meet at 3 p.m. today at Council Chambers, 411 West 8th Street, 5th floor. Also on the agenda, an update on downtown Odessa. An update on public art from Odessa Arts Director Randy Hamm. Discussion of an economic development agreement between ODC and NetOps Communications. The council will also discuss amending the city code to allow for a hardship assistance for ambulance service. Discuss the water treatment plant rehabilitation and miscellaneous upgrades. Consider purchasing 6 outfitted fire package Tahoes and equipment in the purchase of new bunker gear and the purchase of 20 portable radios. Consider amending city code for board, commissions, and committees. Discuss amendments to game room and video gaming ordinance. Discuss employee compensation. Quick hits. Free drive-through COVID-19 test. The City of Odessa Incident Command is partnering with Curative to offer the COVID-19 PCR test drive-through from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at the corner of 2nd Street and Grant Avenue. Insurance information will be requested. If no insurance, test will be free. To book an appointment, visit curative.com. Black Market Trust. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788, Midland, will present the Black Market Trust at 7:30 p.m. today. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. For tickets or information, visit tinyurl.com/2p86hs9v. April 6th, Bustin' for Badges Clay Shoot Fundraiser. The 9th annual Bustin' for Badges Clay Shoot Fundraiser has been scheduled April 21st, 22nd at Windwalker Farms Sporting Clays, 2551 County Road C2801, Stanton. Registration / check-in is 7:30 a.m. for both days. The event will include lunch and prizes. Sponsorships are available. To register, sponsor, or for more information, visit bustinforbadges.org. Linton Midweek Lunch and Service. Faith Fellowship Lutheran Church, 1603 North Grandview Avenue, has scheduled Linton Midweek Lunch and Services from noon to 1 p.m. Wednesday. For more information, call 432-362-2549 or email office@faithfellowshipodessa.org. Art Tales. The Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled Art Tales on the following dates. Wednesday, Grumpy Monkey by Suzanne Lang. May 4th, Through the Window by Barb Rosenstock. Art-loving preschoolers ages 3 to 5 and their grown-ups, this program will be virtual or in person in the Art House. Admission is free. For more information, visit noelartmuseum.org. Easter Worship Night. Grace Christian Fellowship, 3450 Billy Hext Road, has scheduled a special Easter Worship Night from 6:30 p.m. to 7:45 p.m., April 6th. There will be children's programming for kids birth through fifth grade. Visit tiny URL.com/2HUCU34F. April 7th, voter registration deadline. To be eligible to vote in the Constitutional Amendment Special Election and the Ector County Independent School District Special Bond Election on May 7th, you must be a registered voter. If you are not a registered voter, or if you need to update your address with the voter registrar, you have until April 7th to do so in person, or application must be postmarked April 7th. You may also submit an application online with the Secretary of State at www.co.ector.tx.us/default. ASPX:Ector_county/elections or www.sos.state.tx.us. Call the elections office if you are unsure of your voting status at 432-493-4030 or stop by 1010 East 8th Street, Suite 101. Free AARP Tax Aid. AARP is offering free tax assistance to seniors by appointment through April 12th at the Northside Senior Center, 1225 Adams Avenue. Masks are required. To schedule an appointment, call 432-337-5281. April 8th. Fish Fryays. Knights of Columbus 3203 and Daughters of Mary has scheduled Fish Fryays fundraiser from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. each Friday during Lent at St. Mary's Catholic Church Cafeteria, 618 East 18th Street. Plates are $12 each. For more information, call 432-332-5334. Andrew Peterson's Resurrection Letters Tour. First United Methodist Church, 300 North Main Street, Midland, will present the Andrew Peterson's Resurrection Letters Tour on April 8th. This show also features the Arcadian Wild and special guest, Sky Peterson. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/2p829h8p. Friday Night Lights Concert. Dos Amigos, 4700 North Golder Avenue, has scheduled a Friday Night Lights concert featuring the Boxmasters starting at 8 p.m. April 8th. For tickets or information, visit dosamigos.com. Concerts. The Hacienda Center, 12160 Texas 191 Frontage Road, Midland, has scheduled the following events. April 8th, Luis R. Conriguez, Los Jilgueros del Arroyo y Luis Sanchez. June 24th, Banda, Miss Conjunto Primavera, Los Tu de las Los Vendavalles. For times, tickets, or information, visit HaciendaMidland.com. April 9th, Plant Sale. The Permian Basin Master Gardener has scheduled a plant sale from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. April 9th at the Ector County Coliseum, Building A. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or at 686-4700 in Midland or visit aggie-horticultural.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. Old Sorehead Trade Days. Old Sorehead Trade Days will take place April 9th and 10th and October 8th and 9th, downtown streets of Stanton. Shows are scheduled from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday and from noon to 5 p.m. Sunday. There will be vendors from all over the country, food, live entertainment, and more. For more information, call 432-756-2006 or visit stantontex.com. Easter Celebration. Christian Church of Midland, 2608 Neely Avenue, has scheduled a CCM Easter celebration from 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. April 9th. This is a free event for all ages. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/y28fuvwd. Tribute to Prince. Ector Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue, will present Marshall Charloff, Purple Piano, a tribute to Prince, at 7 p.m. April 9th. For more tickets or more information, visit theector.com or tinyurl.com/4936x4WY. Annual Hops and Props Beer Tasting Fundraiser. CAF High Sky Wing, 9600 Wright Drive, Midland, will present the 14th Annual Hops and Props Beer Tasting Fundraiser from 7 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. April 9th. VIP ticket holders are allowed to enter at 6:30 p.m. and general admission tickets at 7 p.m. Sample more than 50 different beers in the company of vintage Warbirds. There will also be live music, a silent auction, a 50-50 raffle, and a cash bar. All proceeds will benefit the CAF High Sky Wing and Midland Army Airfield Museum. General admission tickets are $40 per person in advance or $50 at the door and include unlimited beer tastings, appetizers from local restaurants, and a commemorative glass. A non-alcohol drinking ticket is offered for $20. VIP tables are available for $500. Includes 8 tickets. This is the only seating at the event. No one under 21 admitted. ID required at door. For more information or to purchase tickets or tables, call 432-254-6182 or visit highskywing.org or tinyurl.com/m49jkyn3. Concert. The Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale Masterworks will present Tchaikovsky 4 April 9th at 7:30 p.m. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. For more information or tickets, visit wagnernoel.com. April 10th, Telling God's Story. Crestview Baptist Church, 301 North Loop 250 West Midland, will present the Telling God's Story from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. April 10th. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/bdfxt996. Palm Sunday at the Bridge. The Bridge, 3901 East Yukon Road, has scheduled Palm Sunday at 10:16 a.m. April 10th. Following worship, there will be a lunch, jumpers, and a huge Easter egg hunt for the kids, and photos with the Easter Bunny. Visit tinyurl.com/4R5KBMRS. Easter Family Fest. Grace Christian Fellowship, 3450 Billy Hext Road, has scheduled an Easter Family Fest at 11:30 a.m. April 10th. There will be an Easter egg hunt, free food, games, jumpers, face painting, and much more. Visit tinyurl.com/3J8UJNEY.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.